The following Future Conceive podcast is sponsored by the Virtual Education Committee of the Society for the Study of Reproduction, with the mission to develop virtual programs that will aid in the education, highlighting the careers of society members, bringing technology updates, and the latest scientific advancements in reproductive biology. Thank you for listening.
Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of the podcast for the Society for the Study of Reproduction. My name is Zhan Liao and I'm a PhD student at Baylor College of Medicine. It is my great pleasure to have Dr. Diana Monsivais, the awardee of 2023 Janice Barr Junior Scientist Travel Award, with me here today. So welcome, Dr. Monsivais.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Zahal, and thank you to the members of the Society for electing me to receive this award. I was very honored.
Yes, and I'm glad to have you here today with us for the podcast. So how long have you been a member of SSR?
I first became a member of SSR when I was a graduate student in Sardar Bulun's lab at Northwestern back in 2012. I remember attending my first SSR meeting in State College, Pennsylvania, with two of my other lab mates, a postdoc and a graduate student at the time. And it was such a great meeting with so much programming for trainees that I made sure that I came back to SSR every year after that as a graduate student and then as a postdoc.
That's great. So I believe there must be many, many memorable events during the SSR experience that you had over the years. So what are some of your most favorite memories from SSR annual meetings?
So definitely having the opportunity as a graduate student to be part of the trainee mentor luncheon. It gave me such a great opportunity to interact with faculty of the SSR, get to know them, get to talk to them about their career trajectory and receive advice relating to career and research from them. It was very inspirational and motivational. Other favorite memories are definitely the social activities that SSR plans, such as the trainee mixer, as well as the 5K race. My proud moment of the 5K race was winning third place in the race in San Diego, and then also the opportunity to attend the diversity luncheon every year at the meeting. And then there's also programming directed to women, such as the winner's luncheon, which used to be the winner's breakfast. So all of those are really great programs that the SSR meeting holds.
It sounds like you're a really almost semi-professional runner. So would you mind tell us more about your personal side of the story?
Not really professional runner. I just do it for fun. But I have run, I think, 9 marathons now. And that year in particular, I had been in Japan for 3 weeks training and running in the heat and in hills. So I was in very good condition. So when I came back to San Diego, which had very nice cool temperatures, I was able to run really fast.
So you're training in the harsh conditions.
Yes, especially living in Houston.
Yes. So would you mind tell us more about the current research going on in your lab?
Okay, yeah. So I started my lab at Baylor College of Medicine in July 2020, and my lab is focused on endometrial biology. So as an endometrial biology focused group, we have mouse models and human models to study early pregnancy loss as well as endometriosis. And so we have genetic mouse models so that we could study defects during implantation as well as during decidualization. And we also have a nice collaboration with clinicians in the Texas Medical Center that allows us to obtain fresh surgical specimens so that we could establish endometrial organoids as well as stromal cell cultures for the study of reproduction and for disease.
You're leading your own team, so could you share some thoughts about what you think makes a good leader?
So leadership is tough, right? So I think you really have to develop the skills to be able to inspire people and to motivate people. But I think overall, the most important thing about being a good leader is having good listening skills and being an empathetic leader. This allows you to see your trainees' strengths as well as their interests, and can allow you to guide them in the best direction that'll help them grow, not just as scientists, but also as individuals, so that then they can pursue their own career goals and their own interests, and hopefully have enjoyed their time in your lab and take away not just scientific skills, but also life lessons that will carry them throughout their lives.
Definitely. So far in your career as a reproductive biologist, what are you most proud of so far?
I think at the end of the day, the thing that I'm most proud of is having had the opportunity to mentor and train students. So even as a postdoc and graduate student, I always took care of the high school students, the rotation students, and like the summer smart students that would come through the lab. And so watching them acquire the skills and learn how to do an experiment and troubleshoot problems has been a very fulfilling part of being a scientist for me.
Yes, so following up on that topic, what is your mentoring philosophy?
So I like to have a very open communication style of mentoring in my lab. My door to my office is always open. I want everybody in the room and in the lab to feel like they belong, to feel like they have a voice, and to know that they can agree or disagree with whatever, you know, it is that we're conversating about. This way they can learn how to take ownership of their project and manage the direction of their project. And overall, I want them to be able to shape the environment that they work in so that it's a place that they feel welcome in and that they feel proud to come and be a part of every day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Monsivais, for that. And as a trainee myself, I wonder, what is the one piece of advice that you'd give to the trainees?
So one piece of advice that I think I learned along the way is to be flexible and to keep an open mind. Science, just like life, it can take many unexpected twists and turns. And so you have to be ready to pivot and to change direction along with it. And you'll find that along the way everything will work out. So just remember that you have to keep that flexible mentality and to just trust in the uncertainty and that everything will work out in the end.
Awesome. I'll take that in my mind when my experiments doesn't work.
Yes.
So why do you decide to become a reproductive biologist from the beginning?
So I guess it goes back to my upbringing. So I grew up in a family largely of women. So I have four sisters. I have a lot of aunts. I have a lot of female cousins. So all of my whole life been surrounded by strong women as role models and as mentors. They influenced, you know, my musical tastes, my career interests, my goals in life. And one thing that I found as we were growing up is that despite being surrounded by so many women, issues related to reproductive biology were always taboo. They were taboo subjects, and there were many things that weren't accurate, right? They were part of conversations that we would have, and they weren't necessarily the most scientifically accurate descriptions of what was happening in our bodies. And so as I became an undergraduate student and a graduate student, I found it so fascinating to learn how these biological processes related to our reproductive organs and processes were actually occurring. And so now I make it a point with my younger daughters to make sure I give them very accurate descriptions of everything that's happening in their bodies, because I think this knowledge is key for you to be able to make informed decisions as you're growing up.
Yeah, and it's the next generation of women to carry on the knowledge and then to teach our offspring.
Right, right. I mean, because if you think about it, all of these issues are so important, not just for our health, but also in the way that they shape policy, right? Like a lot of the things that are happening out there politically related to reproductive rights are not really drawn from accurate scientific processes, right? They're rooted in misunderstanding or in some other religious basis.
Yes. So thank you for being with us today, and congratulations again for getting the Jennings Barr Junior Scientist Travel Award this year. Thank you, Dr. Monsivais.
Thank you so much, San.
This music is produced by Buck Hills and Perip Pell. Bye.